My text is in Psalm 91. Now, I can remember once speaking on this psalm. I think it was in the Christian Union in Cardiff about 14 years ago, perhaps 15 or 16, I'm not sure. And after I'd finished, they informed me, the previous speaker had been my wife, and they informed me that she had spoken on Psalm 91. And then they made kind comparisons. I'll not say who won. And then I was also speaking in a place once. It was a sisterhood rally somewhere, and I was preaching on Lot's wife. And it's one of those meetings that after you finish preaching, they then read the minutes of the last meeting and the full account of the previous message. The previous speaker was my wife, and she'd preached on Lot. So I don't know. I feel rather nervous here tonight. Psalm 91. I say it almost in trembling and a little fear. Psalm 91. Often I've looked at this psalm. It's one of those beautiful psalms. Well, they're all beautiful, but there are some psalms that speak to our hearts in a very special way. And this is one of them. And I could go through the whole psalm. I don't really think that's my intention tonight. Certainly I'll have to go here and there in it. But it was the first verse that took my attention in a very special way. And bringing it to you tonight, it might comfort our hearts in these cold days, and that we might be warmed by the warmth of the truth of God's grace. So first verse, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I think those words alone are quite striking, aren't they? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And the thought that came to me as I read this verse was that here is a person speaking that he's found a resting place. And there seem to be so few people who do find it. There are many people that claim, but there are few really who find it. See, not only must there be a work of grace in our hearts, as far as I can see, there must be evidence. Wouldn't you agree? There's got to be evidence. Unless I see evidence in a person, really, that they love God, that they love to be about the things of God, that they are a person I could go to and share in prayer with them, well, I begin to wonder that they need perhaps to rethink and reconsider. That there might be evidence of God's grace. These people are made a gracious people. Now, the great aim here is that we might find a place. Now, very often we use this kind of language when we're speaking to people and say about a person who may have been very unsettled in life for a long time. And we say to them, about them, well, I'm very glad, you know, he's settled down at last. And we say it with true kindness in our hearts. It's nice to see him settling down. He's been so restless, just darting here and darting there. But at last he has settled down. That is an ordinary statement that we use in daily life. Or if you come to a new city, a new town to live, and it's taking you some time to get used to the new surroundings and where the shops are, where the church is, making new friends, settling at work, all these things. And then at last, it's lovely when you hear a person saying, I feel I have really settled down now. Although I miss my old home, I feel I have settled down now. And that's a wonderful thing when people come from one town to another. But what about this truth on a spiritual level? I could ask every one of us here tonight, and ask us collectively, of course, have you settled down spiritually? Or do you draw near to the throne of grace or the work of grace and listen to it and then dart back again and come near and dart back again, back and forth, back and forth? You never really settle with God's people. You never seem to, very much like those birds, you know, they seem to come and they're going to land, and as they think they're going to land, they're up again. And then they come as if they're going to, and they're off again. And it takes them ages. Very much like a person, and I hope I don't come into this category, I'm sure I do very often, a boring speaker, and where he says, well, now, finally, and then after saying finally, now I'm coming to my last point. And now, in conclusion, and so it goes on and on like that. He's asked if he was going to land, and up he goes again, and the hearts of the young people sink. And we used to have a preacher like that that came to the Welsh Chapel in Bolton. And really, I can get his voice quite easily, but I'll not do it. It's a great temptation, but I'll not do it. But he used to preach for a very, very long time. And we used to have him really because, well, I suppose it was difficult to get people one thing or another, so he was there. And I can remember it was time to finish. It was 7:45. You see, we started at 6. It was 7:45. And he said, secondly. Oh, you know the feeling. However interesting, you know. I'm not going to do that tonight. I don't think so. The way I'm going is going to be like that. As if he was landing and then off he goes again and never seems to settle. And there are people that are spiritually like that. They never seem to settle. And they're strange. Every little thing that comes, they get excited about it and they're off with that and they're back again and something else and off with that and they're back again. This kind of blown about with every wind of doctrine, or just going the course of the world, then back again, back into the world, and back again, and never settling down. Now, this psalm is about settling down. Now, making your place there. We live in a time when there are many very restless hearts and many very unsettled people. You can tell by the way they talk and they discuss. Their hearts are restless. And sometimes when you and I may be listening to a program on the radio or listening to people or talking about their lives or that kind of quite edifying thing, we can listen to it and we can see by the way that they are talking something quite distressing. They have so little to hang on to. You know, their own little thing, their own little performance. They do their little bits and that's it. And they seem to have nothing else. They have not settled down. It's as if they hadn't grown up. And I've even listened to people who have boasted about their age and said that they're, whatever it is, well in their 80s or well in their 90s, and they're still able to do their little thing, whatever that little thing may be. Yet they have not settled down spiritually. And it makes you wonder, really, how it can be so. Well, we know there is an enemy of our souls who settles us, who unsettles us, and who desires that we might not, whose aim is to prevent us from having holy desires of God. What I'm really asking tonight is this. You see, I'm a voice here speaking at this place, in this pulpit tonight. If the Lord tarries, there'll be another congregation, another voice, so many decades, I don't know. Then another voice, another congregation, if the Lord tarries. Be like that. Are we willing to listen? Are we willing? Are we willing to search our own hearts? You know, very often you find that if you brought somebody to hear the gospel and they will say like this, they'll comment on the singing too fast or too slow, too loud or too quiet, you know, or the preacher too long or too short, or too this or too that. And what they're doing, they're being evasive. They will not settle down. They will not settle down to listen. They will not settle down to hearken to the things regarding their own souls. Well, here in the psalm is a very beautiful theme. The first point I'd like to bring to you is this, and they're just short points that I have, but I think they're helpful, if especially somebody's searching here tonight. The secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Now, who are we talking about? The Most High. Well, who is the Most High? God. So we're talking about God. We sang, didn't we, at the beginning, a hymn that, for me, is one of the hymns that immediately captures the imagination of my heart To think of the person of God, immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. And then these two lines, you remember them? Thy justice, like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds, which are fountains of goodness and love. And then it's the author of life. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but naught changeth thee. That's God. There are many verses I could read from that hymn, which is familiar to you, and it brings into our mind the feeling of God Almighty. Have you ever drawn near in your life in a time when perhaps you were hovering between what seemed to be to you then, between life and death? There are occasions like that in many of our experiences, and we are hovered there, and we feel that we shall never forget the Most High. Isn't it a terrible thing, my friends, that we seem to lose the sharpness and the clarity of that feeling and that vision? We draw back again and are involved with things, and we lose the vision of the Most High. And how difficult it is for any preacher in any congregation to raise his congregation to consider the Most High, to think upon him, the Almighty God. Here it says about David, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Then he enlarges on the Most High in verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. What is he like? He is my refuge, he is my fortress, he is my God, I will trust in him. So we have now, he's enlarging on the Most High. He is a refuge, he's a fortress, he's a place of trust, he's God. And so he brings us now a vivid picture of the secret place that he is talking about. And then he comes into that area now of our dealings with God, or being dealt with by this amazing God. Now, God does deal with souls. He doesn't hurry either. He's no need to hurry. Well, I should have kept the page open in that hymn. I think it says words like this, if I remember correctly. Unresting, here we are. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. There can be some here tonight who might say, ah, yes, I'll listen to you, and then I'll go my own way, because maybe you're right and maybe you're not, I'm not very sure, but I'll delay for a while again. You can't afford to delay, but God can go at his own speed. Unresting, unhasting. And we can run away from God. But you know what happens when you run? You tire. And God just comes on steadily and lays his hand on you. There's no escape. When God is dealing with your soul, when God is dealing with your innermost being, there is no escape. It is an irresistible grace. That is, a grace that once it is set upon us, it cannot be resisted. Now, the secret place, there are some translations, and rightly too, they describe the secret place as a shelter, but a secret shelter. You can also get from the word, if you like, a hiding place. It is a secret shelter and a hiding place. That's a whole lot for you there. It's quite a description, isn't it? A secret place. You know, as children, when we used to have, especially for us who live perhaps near the countryside, we'd have some little cave somewhere, or a den. We always wanted dens, didn't we? A secret place, a hiding place, even if it was only somewhere in the garden. There's something in all children that want that, and I'm sure that if I ask you, did you have a den or a secret place, that you would all agree with me that it was in your experience. But is this in your experience? Have you found this secret place, this hiding place? What is it? In Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 2, I think there is a very beautiful link, and I'm using it. It's talking about a hiding place or a shelter or the secret place, and then changes the figure into a personality. And that's obviously what we have here. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Take your choice, he said. He is to me like a clean river in a desert. He is to me like a rock and a shelter in a weary land. He is to me a place of protection in a tempest. He is to me a hiding place from the keen east wind, or whatever it may be, or a stormy wind. He is all that. But it's all here centered in a personality. So we come, you know, to what this psalm is talking about. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, what is he talking about? Then immediately he's talking about God. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my hiding place, and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Have we found that place? How many voices are there today? I suppose before I came here tonight, I could have made some kind of list. But you know, the list is so long today. It used to be a list, say, about 15 years ago, 400 different kinds of variations could be named. But now, they must go into thousands. They must do. How many voices? How many? How many strange fires? How many of them? Then how shall we know who is right? It's not difficult. It is the Word. It is the Word. Do you know that this Word angers Satan? It does too. Now, I have been in situations, one vivid to my mind, that immediately I opened the Bible, a flow of unbelievable abuse above the ability of the person just streamed forth. Why? The Bible. Now, I'm not saying it's magic. I'm saying it is supernatural. The Bible. Now, what am I saying here? Now, I'm not what they call, sometimes it is called that we are bibliomaniacs, that we just everything, no, not at all. Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord, but I would not know anything about him were it not for this word. So this Bible is precious. Do you remember when I used the title of a book the other day, I'd rather be, it was a quotation from a psalm, as you know, I'd rather be a doorkeeper, I'd rather be, and it came from the other side of the Iron Curtain, where they would rather be a road sweeper, rather be anything and be a Christian than to dwell in a tent of wickedness, whatever promotion they might get in life and so on and so on. I'd rather be. One of them was an interesting one. I'd rather have a page of the Bible. Just one page. And we've got in our house dozens of Bibles. Just think. I often wonder, do we value it? Like a person who could say, I'd rather have a page, I'd rather have a page, and know that page. This great God who speaks to us in this Bible, how then can I approach him? There is no way, that hymn that we sing often, how can I? And it doesn't it say it well? Oh, how can I, whose native sphere is dark, whose mind is dim, before the ineffable appear, or upon my naked spirit bear the uncreated beam. I'm sinful and I am unworthy. when all comes then into the realm of the Lord, I promise you, by God's grace, it will be tonight, we'll be singing a hymn and these words, O safe and happy shelter, O refuge tried and sweet, O trusting place where heaven's love and heaven's justice meet. As to the holy patriarch that wondrous dream was given, so seems my Saviour's cross to me a ladder up to heaven. Now what's he saying in that verse? It's very lovely. He is saying, I have found in Calvary something wonderful. It is a safe and happy shelter. It's been tried before by many, many people before me. A refuge tried and sweet. What shall I do there? There is only one thing you can do there. Trust. A trusting place. What happens there? Where heaven's love and heaven's justice meet. That is, the justice of God compels Jesus Christ to die for our sin. The love of God is manifest in that he allowed his son to die. That's the place. And that's why that place is so wonderful. As to the holy patriarch, that wondrous dream was given, so seems my Saviour's love to me a ladder up to heaven. I know that the figures here are changed from rocks unto rivers, but I don't think it matters. I think it is a great shame. In one Welsh hymn book, which has still is a great hymn book, perhaps amongst the greatest, but they did one sad thing amongst many hymns. Some of the really blessed hymn writers of the past would write a hymn and they would have mixed metaphors. They'd change the figure. They'd be talking about a rock. They'd be talking about a river. They would be talking about a fortress. And they'd say, well, no, no, we must have a little classical poetry here. And we'll talk in this verse about the rock only. And talk in that verse about the river only. It doesn't matter. We know what we are talking about. We are saying, he's a rock to me. He's like water in a thirsty land. He's a hiding place for me. He's all that. And that, although it's mixing, it doesn't mix us up. Does it? We know exactly what the person is saying. And I think it's a great pity to meddle with these lovely words that sometimes have been given and people change them in order to have them in a literary and tidy style like that. Look at this verse again and look at the mixture. Not meddled about with. A safe and happy shelter, a refuge tried and sweet, a trusting place where heaven's love and heaven's justice meet. And then he goes to an Old Testament story. As to the holy patriarch, that wondrous dream was given, so seems my Saviour's cross to me a ladder up to heaven. Now, what is he doing? He's talking about a shelter. He's talking about a refuge. He's talking about a trusting place. He's obviously talking doctrinally about God's justice being met in that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin. He's talking doctrinally when he talks about the love of God in allowing his son to pay the penalty for our sin. Then suddenly he goes back again to the Old Testament. What is the story? It's the story of Jacob. And this man was running away from fear, running away from the anger of his brother. He'd been very unjust, very wrong. God was merciful to him. He had a dream. And in this dream, he saw a ladder. There was the Most High. And ascending and descending were many angels. And it seemed to him as if this were a ladder to heaven itself. It was a dreadful place, he said. Is it not the gateway to heaven? He knew it was. Now, Jesus Christ did not use a ladder. It was a cross. But it is a ladder. Because it's the only link between here and there. That's what he's talking about. As to the holy patriarch, that wondrous dream was given, so seems my Saviour's cross to me. My Saviour's cross to me. A ladder up to heaven. When you found that, you found the secret. And in your heart there is a secret, or if you like, a mystery revealed. It's a wonderful thing. It's precious like a secret. It belongs to you, and it's special for you. It is a shelter. It is a hiding place. It is a Saviour. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 14, he says this, that it's sacred, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name, known the name of God, and God's name upon us. A secret place. It is a secure place. Now, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. For some here tonight who are desire to have this experience of God's grace, and their souls are reaching out for it, for this secret place, this wonderful place. Now, I can tell you also, it is a secure place. So that in this world of insecurity and of instability, and of changing values, in not only in inflation and deflation and all the things that can happen to money, not only that, and the rocketing back and forth of prices, not only that, but where you're able to say that, where values, moral values have gone. You know, people talk in a strange way. I was really shaken listening to an ordinary program that after the news, it was just a little thing, I don't know, it was part of the news or something. And the person was just talking openly, quite openly. Oh, well, we'd lived together for 4 or 5 years, so we thought, just to please Dad, we'd get married. And, it was just said like that. There was nothing. Marriage was just a kind of a little fringe benefit, maybe, that just pleased Daddy and Mammy. There was a time that if any of us had heard that, it would have been in the newspapers. We'd have been horrified. But we live in strange days, don't we? We live in terrible days, terrible days. Changing values. But do values change? Not the values of God. Not the principles of God. They do not change. Now then, are you in this secret place? If you're in this secret place, although it is an insecure age, you and I can still have a security that is in God himself. Verse 4 will tell us, and it's a beautiful verse which I'd like to link with the words of our blessed Saviour. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. It is both a doctrinal verse, it is also a verse for your heart and for the experience. Now what he's saying? He's saying, talking about God, he said, as if God had great wings. And under the shadow of this wing, where the down is, or where these fluffy little feathers, there I shall dwell, and there I shall feel the tenderness of his grace and the warmth of his person. And on the other side, we know, are the strong, strong feathers that are on this protective wing. He says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings, where shall I be? Shall I be on the shiny, glossy, hard surface? No, under his wings shalt thou trust. That's where thou shalt be. Secure. Protected there. Well, are we really talking about birds? No, not at all. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. There is something about the truth that hell trembles at its sound. When we name God as judge, when we name God as sovereign, when we name God as almighty, when we name Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, then hell trembles. And so what we are talking about is reality of that kind. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. It shall be thy cover, it shall be thy defense, and thy comfort and thine armor. Jesus Christ said something so much like that. He was standing somewhere where he could see the city. I've often told you when I'm coming from Llandoch Hospital, particularly, a verse always comes to my mind. I have yet many people in the city. Now, you know why, don't you? The whole span of Cardiff seems to be at your feet there. I have yet many people in this city. Perhaps the Lord Jesus Christ is standing at some vantage point. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. You see the longing of the Saviour there. And the comparison there is even more domestic in a way. A person might keep a few hens themselves. They haven't even got to be a farmer. And he's saying, and you know, I feel like that. It is as friendly and as lovely as that. I would feel like that. As a hen gathers her brood, so too would I call out and call to the Jerusalem and call to the people of this generation. Come quickly and come under the protection. How often hast thou heard the voice of prophets? How often hast thou heard the truth? And you would not. That verse rings too there. But if we come, it is a secure place in life and in death. Listen to verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid. Have you ever been afraid? Sometimes afraid now. You need not be. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. What's he saying? Do not fear. Don't fear the words of men. Don't fear spiritual powers of wickedness. Don't fear circumstances. Don't fear any of these things, because as far as thine eternal destiny is concerned, in verse 7, but it shall not come nigh thee. Why? We're under his wing. And we are secure. You know the 23rd Psalm, surely, when it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you remember the words? We have had to walk through that valley many times. I am not saying that we die many times. It is not the valley of death. It is a valley of the shadow of death. And ultimately, it will include death itself, obviously. But many times, you and I will walk through that valley. The valley of shadows, the valley of deathly shadows. That's the valley he's talking about. And ultimately, it will be the deathly shadow of death itself, of course. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I will fear no evil. Why? Under his wing. Yes, but put this way. For thou art with me. Thou art my hiding place. Thou art my rock. Thou art my river that quenches my thirst. Thou art my hiding place. Thou art all these things. Thou art the Son of God. The secret place of faith in him. And to be secure in him. You there? Then to close. The selected place. God has a plan. Yes, he has plans in our lives. But the ultimate plan for the believer is that he shall go to glory, go to heaven. Don't be afraid of those terms. Yes, we have to die until the Lord tarries. But never be afraid of saying he's passed to heaven, especially if you know if he's a man of faith, because that's what he has done. You say, well, he died. Well, yes, he died, but that was incidental. The main thing about it was that he went to glory, surely. You don't dwell on the negative, but on the positive, that he went to glory, and he went there. How many times have I been able to say, and I thank God I've been able to say it, that when there has been a funeral service here, I'm able to say, that person is not here. These are but earthly remains. To be absent from the body, what next? To be present with the Lord, with the Most High. Does your faith reach there? Is your faith so in him that it takes you there? Now that's the ultimate plan. And I have not seen nor ear heard, nor has it come into the heart or the mind of man, the things that God hath planned for them that love him. It is a wonderful place, and there are verses by the score that you and I know that we can quote about the beauty of heaven. But it begins here with a negative thing, and I think I understand why. We worry so, don't we? We worry. Look at verse 8. He's going to talk to this person about heaven. Yet, first of all, he's got to remove the negative. We fret so. People are getting on and we're not getting on. They're having this and we're not getting this. And the wicked, even King David, got ever so bothered in one place where he said, I can't understand it, Lord. All these people are flourishing and they're getting on well, and here am I, going through anguish and torment. And at the end of that psalm, he says, but when I saw their end, I didn't envy them at all. Now this psalm is saying the next thing, same thing. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. That's a terrible verse. If you're worried about it, if it's worthwhile, thou shalt behold and see. You'll have a glimpse. You'll not be allowed to gloat. You'll have a glimpse. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. The wages of sin is death. And it's clear what we're talking about. The second death and eternal damnation. So it begins there. Now then it says, think not negatively, but think positively. And look at verses 15 and 16. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. And I will deliver him and honor him. Shall I put that in a pictorial way? I'm sure that this amount of license can be allowed here without doing any disrespect to the text at all. Because so many illustrations can be taken from verse 15 and 16. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. Now then, what are we saying here? Here is a soul that has found the secret place. The man, Lord Jesus Christ, is the hiding place. Here is a soul that is forgiven. Here is a soul that is that believes. Here is a soul that is secure in God. Here he is now under the wing of God and the protection and the armor of his truth. Now there comes his time. He's been told of glory and his time is drawing near. And so first of all, the Lord tells him, stop fretting so and stop being so envious. Look at the reward of the wicked, and he turns away. It's unbearable even to consider and to think of it, the reward of the wicked. Yet you must have a look, take a look, glance away. Now then, we begin to call upon God himself. He shall call upon me, and I will answer. What will happen? I will be with him in trouble. Oh, I'm troubled, Lord. I can't cope, you might say, with sickness, not this illness. Oh, I'm troubled, Lord. I can't cope with the valley of the shadow of death when it is death. Oh, I'm troubled, Lord. Let not your... Do you remember it? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there ye may be also. But back to the psalm. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. God will honor us. He will take us to himself. And not only will he know us, but he will honor us. And that's a very wonderful thing. Imagine being honored by God. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now you can take that as you like. If you want to live a long time in this world, all right. But I don't think that that's particularly important here. We have gone to the realm, the dimension of the spiritual. We shall have everlasting life. That's how long it will be. Because the main part of that sentence is this. Because in the life that he's talking of now, whether it begins now at the moment of your conversion, goes right through your death to everlasting life, to me, is just a point for us to debate. And it doesn't matter, because in the end, it's the same conclusion. Because once you believe, you have entered into this life. And even though there is death itself, yet you just go through death and enter into glory. So, with this long life, with this long and everlasting life, what will God show me? His salvation for me, for you. What can it be? Oh, I don't know. The opposite of hell, the opposite of sorrow, the opposite of fretting, the opposite of anxiety, the opposite of anger. Peace, joy, glory, beauty, purity, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. McShane was a godly man, wasn't he? You must have read his memoirs. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty, not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart. You see now, as much as we may love him, there is the taint of sin that drags us. Love thee with unsinning heart. Then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. So I can't tell you. I am not able to tell you. I can only tell you the negatives and some of the positives that the Bible tells us about heaven. And McShane says, it's then I shall know. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Then he was amazed. Why did he bother with me? Chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee. Hidden. Where? Where shall I hide? Hidden in the Saviour's side. Hidden in the Saviour's side, by the Spirit sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show, by my love, how much I owe. So if you're saved tonight, begin to show people how much you owe. Begin to love him. Begin to serve him. Let us show him how much we owe. For Jesus Christ is my secret place. For Jesus Christ is my security. For Jesus Christ has selected a place, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Repent and believe and find him. Let us pray. O gracious Lord, we come to thee in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We ask thy blessing upon us. We ask thee, O Lord, that we may be a faithful people, a people who love God, who love one another, and love thee enough to tell others about thee. O Lord, in these moments before thee, let many a soul in this building this night find in Jesus Christ a secret place, a secure place, and let them be assured of a place selected in heaven for them. For thy name's sake. Amen.